back to the Wacky Racers. Number 8 is still in the lead.
Make a parsnip sandwich, Blubber. I got me the hungries and heavy on the pepper.
Hi, this is Mike, and I think the Anthill Mob is going to win this week.
And I'm Daryl, and I think the Slag Brothers are going to take it home this week.
I'm Lindsay, and I think Penelope Pitstop is going to do it this week.
Do it?
I mean just like have sex with somebody. Not
do it.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, well, once again, we were disappointed in our search for that, but we did see another episode of Wacky Races. Episode 6, Idaho A-Go-Go. Original air date, September 28th, 1968.
Such a fun name. Idaho A-Go-Go.
But no go-go dancers.
No
Again,
go-go somewhat, dancers.
But go-go boots.
Yeah.
Penelope Pitstop has some nice go-go boots.
And they are, unfortunately, not a pot reference. They're in Baked Idaho.
Baked Idaho is the terminus of this week's voyage.
Yeah. It's a reference to potatoes, because it's Idaho. And Idaho is all about potatoes.
It's also a reference to the other baked state, Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And marijuana.
Yep. So, Alaska, marijuana.
And in homage to the marijuana-induced hallucinations that people keep getting in movies, even though it doesn't actually cause hallucinations, this movie, this episode had a beautiful Dr. Seuss-type landscape with fluffy pink trees.
Yes, all over. Just not in the... sky's kind of a strange orange color. Not an orange color like the sky ever gets.
I feel like this episode must have been made towards...
the sun was on fire.
Yeah, towards the end of production, because the budget seems like it got really, really tight.
This is the sixth episode.
Yeah, but they don't air or show episodes in the order that they make them.
Oh, no. This show is so sequential in its plotting.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that they probably made this episode when they didn't have any more money, because there's a lot of really cheap animation where there's one part where there's a big pileup crash that all happens off screen, like just directly off screen. And all that you see
is the frame just shaking a little bit.
It's the frame shaking every time there's a crash, and then the announcer says, and 3 crashes into 9, and 9 crashes into 7, and 7 crashes into...
Yeah. He might as well be saying, I wish you could see this, folks.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And then it does, once all the crashes are over, it pans over, seriously, like an inch.
Yeah.
And
just
then
past the last fluffy pink tree.
Yeah, and there's just another still of all the cars piled on top of each other.
Yeah, so this is the Hanna-Barbera show, so when we say that it looks cheap, it looks really cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I mean, cheap to new levels of cheapness.
Yeah, there was a scene where Dick Dastley was hammering in a sign saying, cattle crossing detour, and they showed him hammering it like 5 times, doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And every time, Muttley flinched, which was pretty cool. Basically, that just entailed him shaking up and down as well.
Yes, not moving, just shaking the frame, and that's it.
Yeah,
it was like 12-ounce mouse level of animation.
Yeah, it was. That was probably the inspiration. Part of the inspiration was 12-ounce mouse.
Yeah, they said, Muttley, we can do better. We can just have a picture of a chinchilla taken from an old textbook somewhere.
Yeah.
And have it jumping up and down and squeaking. Muttley did not talk in this episode, so he's back to his old mute. He's back to his old mute, incoherent self.
And actually, he moves even less in this one, but I'll get into that later.
You know how some like cockatiels, you can't teach them more? Like, they can either whistle or they can repeat after you?
Some cockatiels you've encountered are smarter than others.
And if they...
But they're all delicious.
If you try to have them do too much in the way of repeating whistles or words, that just scrambles their brains and they can't do it anymore, or they get it all messed up. That's probably what happened to Muttley.
That's something we can all identify with.
Because he rhymed and he spoke at the same time, and I think that just those circuits...
Yeah, his synapses twisted and fried, and he just has to recover in this episode, which he did by just sitting in the back of the car motionless.
As we said, this is a very sequential show, so it's like Lost. You miss an episode, just kill yourself.
Yeah. We can only imagine how traumatized Muttley is going to be in subsequent ones after this.
Oh, yes.
He's going to have...
Muttley has a very dark story arc in this
one. But we'll get to that.
Yeah,
this is the grim and gritty reboot of Chuck Dastardly and Muttley.
Yeah.
This is why after this show ended, they had to cast a very similar but blue dog in the All-Star Laugh Olympics, because Muttley was just retiring from the whole...
Have you ever seen one of those, World War I videos of someone with shell shock? That's Muttley, except much worse.
But we'll get to that, because first, there's a Little Red Riding Hood routine.
Mm-hmm.
Now Dick has started referring to his various pranks as the blank routine, as if he's a con man. And last week it was the old phony fire engine routine, and now we've got the old Little Red Riding Hood routine.
He's a regular flim flam man. I think he prefers that term.
Yeah, he's a regular the music man. So he encounters, what's her name, Penelope. He pretends to be Little Red Riding Hood, which he cannot pull that off at all. But
no, but it is a shtick of his, because he says, I'll do the old Red Riding Hood, though this is something that he's done before, like with some regularity.
Yes. I'm telling you, it's like the sting. Him and Muttley are traveling con men. They pull this at different wacky races from coast to coast. They never win the races, but I guess they make money somehow.
They sneak into lots of old people's houses.
The race is just a pretext for laundering money, is what I'm starting to realize.
Probably.
Drug money, it's like the
Jamaican Formula One team, which there is no such thing. But anyway, he then later impersonates the grandma, and that is more plausible. And there's a lot of wolf-related shenanigans after that, because Penelope Footstop shows up at the grandma's house, and Dick Dastardly is there, obviously. She seems to recognize Little Red Riding Hood and grandma as just normal people that she encounters in her daily life.
Yeah, just a dark mustachioed grandma with a waxy mustache.
Why not?
So I guess we're supposed to understand that this takes place in the same universe as all the fairy tales. So maybe Penelope Footstop is going to show up in Once Upon a Time at some point.
Yeah, this is the Brothers Grimm Wacky Races.
Yeah, well, we saw the Seven Dwarfs in an earlier episode.
Yeah.
What were they? They're not really Seven Dwarfs.
No, they're not. They are the non-copywritten...
the non-copyright infringing Seven Dwarfs who are wearing purple pointy hats and purple smocks.
They are the non-copyright infringing small men who are more than 6 and less than 8. that's who they are.
So in this episode, there was a small crimson riding garment.
Yes.
Although none of these things are copyrighted.
Yeah. So Penelope Pitstop is kind of a dummy, and gets led right into a closet. Dick Dastardly's like, oh, come out this back door, and it's very obviously a closet.
It's not an exit. Up.
Yeah, there are coats and there are things. Just it's very obviously a closet, and she just believes him, her, and
Dick Dastardly,
walks right in,
yes,
and Dick Dastardly locks her in with a bar, then this is actually a really hilarious part. Then a wolf comes in,
an actual wolf.
Yeah, it comes in to
following Muttley dressed as a wolf, pulling off the other half of the Little Red Riding Hood routine.
Yeah, so this wolf comes in to see his grandmother.
Yeah,
his grandmother,
and he describes it as a routine too.
Yeah,
he's like, she loves the old "how big teeth you are" routine.
Yeah, and
this wolf's wearing a college sweatshirt, by the way.
Yeah, he's home for the weekend.
He's home from Wolf U.
Yeah, yeah,
just in time for homecoming.
Yeah, the only thing he's missing is his leather cap. He comes
rabbit
in,
fur coat.
Realizes very quickly, he's not fooled at all by Dick Dastardly, because he realizes that is not his grandmother.
He's not nearly as dumb as Penelope Pitstop.
No.
Yeah.
Even though he is not even a primate, let alone a human.
But Dick Dastardly and Muttley make their way out, and
they leave her in the closet.
Penelope Pitstop is banging on the closet, and the wolf thinks, oh, this must be Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
Very excited because he's about to have a snack or something.
Yeah.
Lets her out, and Penelope Pitstop has a pan in her hand, just bangs it over top of his head a couple times.
Like all Southern women, she carries a cast iron frying pan for, male beating.
Yeah.
Is that the Southern women? Whereas the Irish immigrant women have the rolling pin?
Yeah, rolling pin, cast iron skillet,
And then
the sewing machine to stab people repeatedly.
The wolf then runs out, exclaiming, "I'm in the wrong story! I'm in the wrong story!" He leaves.
I don't know how he interpreted that. Like, who did he think was hiding in the closet with the frog?
Red Riding Hood.
Like the witch from Hansel and Gretel or something?
The huntsman? It'd definitely be the wrong story. The huntsman would kill him and then take his skin off.
Exactly. So,
and then sell it to Dick Dastardly to dress up Muttley in for the old Little Red Riding Hood plot.
Yeah.
Or routine. Yeah, so then we also see the Anto mob. They do something. They use getaway power again, which means they
That's
run
the old
like the Flintstones.
Fred Flintstone.
But then the Red Max decide to overtake them. And then when we see the dashboard of the Red Max's car, and he apparently has been awarded the Iron Cross at some point.
Yes.
And then he decides to bisect the Anto mob car, cutting it in half 4 times. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that is what the word bisecting means. But anyway, that turns out to act in favor of the Anto mob, because they can just all scatter and run in different directions, which is normally difficult when you're all passengers in the same car.
Yeah, it doesn't hinder them at all, because they keep together while they're running forward, and then they need to separate. So they all then just separate. I'm guessing they come back at some point. They don't actually come back to the show.
They come back,
show.
And then they probably just repair the car again somehow, by bashing it with a cudgel.
Yeah,
that's
that
how
seems
you
to work.
Things.
Yeah, the slags seem to have that one down pretty.
Yeah,
pretty
well. And the most wacky moment in this episode was when they were doing their usual routine of repairing the car by whacking it with their cudgels, and then a arm pops out of the engine block and hits them with a cudgel.
Yeah.
The engine
this
block.
Car can defend itself. The engine block of granite, I suppose, is what it probably is.
And then we have Dick Dastardly and Muttley in their final ruse.
And this is where it gets great.
It gets really
this
dark.
This is where
it gets
real deliverance.
Yeah, this is No Country for Old Dogs.
Oh no! They're coming back! Stop! Stop, I say! I'm a cattle crossing!
So
this is the cattle crossing routine.
They divert everybody by putting a sign up saying that there's a cattle crossing, and they make like a detour that's actually like a fakie, like longer.
Which they do all the time.
Which never works.
But this time they decide to make it even more convincing.
Yeah, they do the old two-man horse routine, cattle routine.
Yeah, the old pantomime horse.
Yeah, so
They
get into a cow costume. Muttley is the bottom, and Dick Dastardly is the top. The front end.
Because Muttley is shorter. It only makes sense.
They're standing around being a cow, and all of a sudden, they get spotted.
By a bull.
By a bull who locks right in on them with loving intentions.
I don't know. I wouldn't say that. He looks angry.
Yeah, he looks... This is not going to be happy.
You don't see, like, a heart start popping out of his chest.
No.
He looks angry.
This is not love.
But, lust.
Angry lust.
Angry lust. It's angry lust.
He's about to hate mount that cow.
Yeah. But yeah, so the bull then starts chasing Dastardly and Muttley, and they're running.
They're hell for leather.
You don't see Muttley's face for a while, but like...
You see Dick running and running and running, and they pan backwards to the back of the caboose.
At the very end, you see Muttley's face, and he's not moving at all. Yeah, like, it's a 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah, you think he's about to start snickering.
No, he doesn't snicker.
He's going to snicker.
It's not funny.
Snicker.
That's why.
That's right.
It's 15 seconds of just panning in on his unmoving face, staring into the blankness.
Yeah. That's right. It's like the end of Michael Clayton. Like, he has so many thoughts going through his head right now.
Yeah.
Because he's a passenger in this out-of-control mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, except, you know, there is a bull in hot pursuit.
Yeah. So while that's happening, and they're nowhere near the finish line, we do have a race that's going on, and they are nearing the finish line.
I forgot to write down who won. But
Daryl knows.
I mean, I forgot to write down the top three. But
I do remember the top three.
All right.
And not in any order.
Okay.
The Slag Brothers coming first.
You predicted.
That's right, Daryl.
I predicted.
Two for two.
You did it.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm feeling pretty good about
that.
What
are you going to do now? I mean...
I think I'm just going to try to... Play it low key for now on, because I think I'm never going to be able to outdo myself.
Well, you're a number of one out of over 10,000 competitors in the ESPN.com Wacky Races competition. So you're not going to be able to lay low right now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure I'll be trending on the internets.
Yes.
That's what that does, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think that's how the internet works.
Yeah. Look, as long as I get more likes than Donald Trump's picture of Nazis, then I'll be happy.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever happened to those Facebook things, like, all these things would keep popping up, like, can this eggplant get more likes than Nickelback? Remember those things?
No.
Well, that's because the answer was always
turned on Facebook like 7 years ago.
Oh, okay.
By the end of this episode, Dick Dastardly has said drat a total of 8 times. I think that's a record so far.
Yeah, he did say drat a lot when he was trying his first...
He did a double drat, too.
Double drat, yes. Yeah. A double drat.
I think that only has the one drat. Even though he says double drat, he only says the word drat once. I mean, it's all semantics, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was after his first plot, which we didn't even mention. It involves a big granite block. He can't get it to move the way he wants. That actually accounts for 6 of the drats.
Mm.
So Muttley does his snickering 5 times, and then there's 2 little oles from Penelope Pitstop, and 1 from Dick Dastardly, which I guess is why she trusted him and walked into that closet when he suggested that she do so.
Yeah.
And one of the little oles was a little old wacky race.
I guess that line was just put in to be in the trailers.
Yeah.
Oh, actually,
I do hope I win this little old wacky race.
Actually, towards the end, my favorite line, I guess this could be labeled as my favorite wacky part, is I think people at this point are getting across the finish line, and then the announcer goes, "Meanwhile, the real loser."
Yeah.
And cut to Dick Dastardly, and that's when the shot of Muttley happens, where he's just staring off camera into nothing.
Yeah, his Vietnam
look.
His 1,000-yard stare. And I mean, look, you have to mentally prepare yourself for what is about to happen.
Yeah.
And it is about to happen.
Yeah, he's not going to be speaking for a long time.
No.
No.
too traumatized.
To find out,
it's my wackiest race moment. It's not really wacky as much as it is extremely sad and depressing.
That's the least wacky moment in all six episodes. So
I think it's just like the just how they decided to animate.
I don't think that was purposeful. Like, just so you, like, I don't think these things actually happened. Yes. This is just all conjecture, and it's just.
This is not based on true events.
No, this is not based on true events. We're not saying that Muttley had anything, anything untoward happen to him. But just the way, I think it was very unintentional animation, partially due to their sloppiness.
Yes. But it does look worried.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Don't you go out through that little old side door? It's quicker.
Oh, I'll do that, little old thing.
Ah,